Okay, Mum, do you want to talk?
Yep. What do you want me to say? Just a test.
Just a test, yeah.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3.
Hello, guys, and welcome to the Lean with Plants podcast. I'm Chelsea, former overweight, healthy vegan, confused about why I couldn't look like my favorite plant-based influencers, even though I was chugging back green smoothies every day. After a decade of unsustainable vegan diets, I learned the truth about weight loss, lost 40 pounds, and now I'm in the best shape of my life, even after 2 kids. Girl, if you've been struggling to drop the pounds as a vegan, stuck in a cycle of self-sabotage, sick of yo-yo dieting and going hungry, never being able to get and stay lean, then this is the podcast for you. Each week, I share the no BS truth about why vegan women are overweight, the action steps to get you shedding fat, and the mindset you'll need to get slim for life. I'm stoked to have you here. Let's get started. Hello, hello, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Lean with Plants. So this has been a highly requested episode that I have been quite hesitant to record because I haven't really personally had a lot of experience of having to change my kids' diet or get my family on board. My husband, when I got married, was really on board with not having to cook, so he was okay with pretty much whatever I made him, which was vegan food, not weight loss food at that point. But I have my mum here today, and I thought it would be awesome to have her on talking about how she completely changed our diets as kids to a more plant-based diet. Mum, hello. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, darling. Yep. Hi, everyone. I'm Chelsea's mum. My name is Marietta Smith. And yeah, it's a privilege to be here and to be interviewed by Chelsea.
I'm so excited when my mum comes because she always brings me some kind of food that she's made, or figs, or some kind of fruit from her trees, and it's fig season at the moment, and I am just gorging myself on the figs. They are amazing!
They are. Yeah. Ready to eat.
Yeah. So, Mum, okay, here's the thing. You are an amazing cook, and I feel like I have learnt a lot of how I cook from you. But I did not grow up vegan. You actually changed our diets back in the day. I want to hear a little bit more about that. I want to hear like why you ended up changing things. I remember being super resistant to that. I was probably a teenager at the time. We didn't have a lot of money growing up. So I remember having like powdered milk, and we didn't buy meat all that often, which... Yeah. Probably just for the cost of it. But what made you change to having a more plant-based diet for our family?
Okay, well, we started slowly, I guess. We went vegetarian at first, low-fat vegetarian. And that was mainly triggered by your dad having irritable bowel syndrome. And
poor soul.
Yeah, getting some info about that and doing a course where they had to go vegetarian for the whole course, which was about a week. So he came back from that, said he wanted to try it for a week, see how he felt. He felt so much better that he went to a month, and he just said he wasn't going to go back. So he, we didn't go vegetarian then. We just did maybe 2 at the most meat meals a week, and the rest was vegetarian. As Chelsea said, we didn't have a lot of money, and meat seemed very expensive. And it was mainly mince or sausages that I was buying. So we just...
Probably because your kids begged you as well. I remember begging you to buy mince, which disgusts me now, so that I can make spaghetti bolognese.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's really just a paradigm shift, I think, that you grow up. My dad was a butcher, so I got we got meat as part of his wages were, you know, supplied with meat basically, and it was a big thing. I had three brothers, and they loved their meat. They had sausages for breakfast, and cold meat sandwiches for lunch, and then hot meat for dinner.
Yeah, you. I remember you telling me how traumatized you were that you had to eat livers and stuff like that.
Yeah, lamb's fry and.
Oh, I probably shouldn't be talking about this too much on a vegan podcast. But yeah. what I really wanted to know was, in that instance where. Because you changed because of Dad. Dad was interested in a low-fat diet, low-meat diet. But then I remember a turning point where we had to watch this documentary. You guys made us watch this documentary, and the people were having fruit for one of their meals. I think that was probably when things really started to change. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was naturally healthy type food that I found out about. This lady, she's a South African lady, and we watched this video. They had this really big fruit platter for dinner, and that was just really way out.
It was mind-blowing at the time. It was. Yeah.
I don't know how we could do that. Just from my history of sitting down to a big meat and potato and gravy veggie type dinner, to having fruit, and I thought, would that really be fulfilling or satisfying? But anyway, it was just that mindset change slowly that I wanted to get more into natural whole foods, less processed, less meat, less fat. I remember reading somewhere that once you left the produce department of the supermarket, there was very little nutrition in the rest of the food. And if it was in a packet or packaged in any way, then it was going to be less nutrition. And I wanted my children, maybe because there wasn't a lot of money going around, that the food had to be of the best quality and the best nutrition for what I was buying. And just getting your head around the idea that bulk, you know, bulk is not everything, like white bread and cereals that seem to be bulky and take up a lot of room in the trolley are not necessarily the best. They aren't. And that fruit and veg might seem expensive, but they're packed, they're high density nutrition and good for you. So
no, that's true. There's a lot more weight to it, isn't that really?
Yeah. And just
it's a lot more filling.
Yep, just we moved to the country and we were able to have start our own garden beds and fruit trees, and it's just been a journey. And you girls started to realise that farm animals went to market.
Oh yeah. And oh, that was like so traumatising when I realised that, and I must have been about 13 at the time, realised that animals are not just these fluffy things that we get to pet. They actually end up on your plate. But before we started to get on board with this, what was the response of your kids to a healthier diet? Because I remember just being not happy with that.
Yep. I think growing up as well, food was like a comfort food, comfort thing, or even used as a form of love in a way, or reward.
For us, you would
no,
do that.
For me.
Oh, okay.
For me growing up. So that carried on with me, but I didn't ever want to force you guys to finish your plate full of food to get dessert. I just felt that was really bad, so I never tried to do that. But changing the idea that food was a reward or a comfort. It was more than, it wasn't just that. It was nutrition and cell building and health and preventative health and well-being.
We definitely were not on board with that, though.
No.
So how practically, do you remember what the response was from your kids?
Well, I remember you saying to me that basically that I didn't love you anymore because I didn't do baking. I didn't want to do baking because
that doesn't sound
white,
like me.
I didn't want to use white anything, basically. I didn't want to use white sugar, white flour, white salt or rice. I wanted to be, you know, more back to nature, back to natural and whole foods.
Because I definitely remember a shift where you would have done baking for us and you would make, like, chocolate chip cookies and German apple cake and all the stuff that we'd have. I love spaghetti bolognese as a kid. And then now it was just veggies and spinach from your garden, which you put in literally everything. And I was really upset by that. How did you tackle those obstacles of having your kids vocalizing that they were not happy with you, that you didn't love them anymore, that they were just upset about the change? How did you deal with that?
I think I tried to focus more on what they did like, and getting things like strawberries. You know, often when we go to town for the day, we wouldn't take lunch with us, and previously I would get like white bread rolls and a hot chicken from the supermarket, but
that's right.
I wanted to change all that, and you know, like raspberry buns, white bread rolls with a strip of pink icing on them. I thought, you know, I can change all this. They love, you always love strawberries and blueberries and fresh fruit, and I thought, well, it's not about really what I'm going to cut out, because I'm still getting nice yummy food, which was a treat at that stage to buy strawberries because they seemed expensive, but just focusing on what I could give them, what they can have, and just avoiding the other things. And because we didn't have that much money, you guys were used to being told, no, I'm not buying things at the checkout, or I'm not buying an ice cream on the way home. So
So do you think that you looked at it more of getting us on board with a swap rather than a subtraction?
Yeah.
So it was more about, hey, look what we're gonna have strawberries now, we're gonna have blueberries grapes now, we're gonna buy grapes, we're gonna have like nice fruit at home. And rather than saying, okay, all your favorite foods are now gone.
Potato chips, we'll have carrot sticks and hummus at a picnic or whatever, have a picnic in the park, and probably still have some corn chips, some plain corn chips with hummus or something, but just really, you know, just going from all that processed additive stuff.
And it wasn't perfect as well, because I remember I forgot about getting the hot chicken and white bread rolls and doing that, but I remember after that, our thing in town was that we would buy lettuce, tomatoes, cucumber, bread rolls. So still with bread rolls.
Yeah.
Didn't cut those out. And then you'd buy hummus, and we'd make really yum
salad sandwiches.
Mm. And we would have them in town when we went.
And when we went to horse events, you look forward to having sandwiches with lots of salad and pickles, even pickles with chutneys.
Yeah, I really like that, because I think a lot of people think, I mean, it's the same with adults. We think that when we change our diets, that it's all going to be about what we lack and what we don't have. And if you can shift that focus, not only for yourself, but for your kids as well, about what you gain, not only in the now, but in like long term, like that long term return on investment, which is in your health and your weight loss and all of that, then that is a shift that people can get on board with.
Yeah.
That is a shift. I mean, I do the same with my kids. Like, I very, very actively try to replace the things that I tell them no with something else. Especially if we're going to a kid's birthday party. I will try, and I know you do this for my kids as well. I'm very, very grateful for it. Like, you will make a healthier version of the cake. You will make a vegan version.
Yeah.
You will bring along, like you say, like hummus and carrot sticks and
watermelon
and cherries and all of this stuff. Like, we make it as fun as possible, and it's a really effective way of getting people on board.
Yeah. Just getting your head around the idea that, you know, a little of something like a small punnet of cherries, even though it might seem expensive, it's still, I'd much rather do that now than buying, you know, a big share packet of chocolate chipped cookies or something from the supermarket, or muffins or something from the supermarket.
Yeah, so it's all about getting perspective about where the cost actually is in your grocery bill as well. And I mean, we have a lot of people listening who are in the States. We're really lucky here that we have free healthcare for the most part. But if you are living in another country where most likely when you have a medical problem at some point in the future, especially that if that's like weight related, with like diabetes or heart disease, cancer, any of those things that are related to diet on some level, then it's, you look back and go, well, what's the cost of that financially? It's huge.
Yeah.
And most people spend, as they age, a lot of money, a lot of their income, and a lot of insurance payouts are to do with trying to cover the cost of problems that wouldn't exist had those people had a healthy diet. So it's, you really got to weigh up that cost and you go, well, yes, this might look more expensive in the moment. It might look like it's more expensive to buy peaches than it is to buy cookies, but the peaches are a lot better for me. They are a lot better for my kids. And realistically, when you're not eating animal products, when you're not buying milk, when you're buying less processed food in general, you can actually afford to buy fruit and vegetables.
And your taste buds change too.
They do. They really, really do. Like figs now, absolutely would choose that over chocolate. Yeah. It's my favourite food.
Fruit of the gods.
Yeah. And the kids love them as well.
Yeah. And I think also, as I said, we associate food with love sometimes. Like even, you know, sitting around with a cup of tea and a piece of cake or whatever. But you can choose to do, you know, I see that with Chelsea too, that she does fun activities with your girls, and it doesn't have to have anything to do with food. It's not associated. Love is not about food. It's not, and it's not a reward.
Yeah, that was really important for me, was that I didn't want my kids growing up with the same kind of associations to like special occasions that I had. And I mean, obviously you are a great parent, you did the best that you could, and but I remember like going to McDonald's was such a treat as a kid, and because we didn't do it very often.
Yeah.
And now, even now, probably bad vegan, but I go past McDonald's and I still think, oh, that looks great. You know, I'd love to eat a cheeseburger because it's so nostalgic for me.
Mm.
And there's a lot of food like that. And I think how cool that I get to now raise my kids without these strong associations to special occasions. And I actually make a point now that if we're going to a party or if it's some kind of celebration, that, yeah, we have slightly fancier food sometimes, but we don't do that all the time. That we could have a party and have carrots and a regular kind of meal. And one thing that I found kind of funny is that over the past few years, the meals that our family, like my sisters and you and Dad, have made for Christmas have gotten progressively simpler and progressively healthier.
Yep. And so you're spending less time preparing meals, so you have more time to just hang out with people or do, you know, something else other than being in the kitchen.
Yeah, because it's really sucky that so much of our pull to certain foods is because we have an association that when we do XYZ activity, we need to have that. And that's kind of how habits work. A habit has four parts. It has a cue, a craving, a response, and then a reward. That's how all habits form. So if you have an activity, say like sitting down at night, watching a movie, and you always do that with a glass of wine or a little tub of ice cream, then every time you sit down and watch a movie, that's the trigger, that's the cue for you to get the craving to eat the ice cream. The response is you get the ice cream out of the fridge, and then you get the reward of sitting down and doing those things together, and that dopamine hit, that becomes exceptionally hard to break. And what scientists have actually discovered is that once you form a habit, those pathways are actually entrenched in your brain. So you have to change the cue area of the habit. You have to make those things more invisible so that they're not as much of a trigger for you. This is why alcoholics will often have to completely change their friend group or drive in a different route home from work that doesn't go past the bar that they're used to going to, because those triggers still exist. They have to actually make them invisible. So that doesn't mean that you can't stop bad habit, and that, but it means that it's always hard. So if you can, for your kids, help them to not have those triggers and have those strong, entrenched associations, they're going to be much better set up for life.
Yeah.
And you have the power to do that as a parent. Yeah. So the way that I look at it is that this is much less about depriving my kids. I don't see it as deprivation at all. I see it as like, this is a privilege for them.
Yeah.
That they get to grow up this way.
Yeah.
So I would love to know, like, knowing what you do now and going back in time and dealing with the obstacles that you did, and we obviously had quite a slow transition to how we ate, and because all of us were older, we found out a lot of this information on our own, and then that supported that decision. Knowing what you know now, would you do anything differently?
I would love to have the information earlier, but obviously that's the way it was. I would probably stick to my guns more, because I'm pretty much a pushover with my kids and a big softy. So even, you know, sort of comes home the other night and says, "Where's my pancake?" So it's really hard for me to stick to my guns. So I would probably have to, I mean, if there was a course like this, I would love to have those pep talks, ongoing pep talks. That this is right, this is what you're doing, and it's good. It's good for everybody. It's good for you. It's good for longevity. And just be confident in what you know is right, and not sway under the pressure of trying to keep, you know, keeping the good books with my kids.
With the kids. That's really interesting that, did you have any resistance to that change from the outside? Did you have, because it was obviously less common than it is now to raise your kids that way.
Yeah.
Did you have anyone say to you, well, are you worried about this, or what are you going to do about this? You had that with homeschooling.
Yes, I had that with homeschooling and home births, probably, and the number of children we had. I think people, in a way, ignore you, your requests, or what you are saying to them, because they don't believe it, or they don't want to believe it, and they just carry on trying to push things on you, or maybe it's a test to see how strong you are.
Maybe.
That, you know, we don't eat that food, but they still, it's awkward when you go to family gatherings and they still serve that food and think that you're going to eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you deal with that?
Just having enough of our own food, just bringing plenty of salad and baked vegetables, or a dish that was vegan and didn't have the rich cheese sauce and, you know, meat in it, or even fish.
And just, that's a pretty good strategy, isn't it? Like, just bringing lots and lots of food. Yeah. Or I always assume that people are going to not provide for us.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be hungry in those situations as well. And I think with kids, if you've got kids and you're out and about with, like, at a potluck or at a function, they are going to want to eat all the other stuff that they see. So if you've got lots of food that they love, it's going to be much easier for them to understand it.
Yeah. And a mimic or a lookalike dish, you know, if they're doing like a lasagna, and you know that, well, you can have a pasta dish that, you know, they're going to be happy to eat. And it just makes it less traumatic. And often I've found that a lot of people just want to eat the vegan food.
Oh yeah, they always eat up all our vegan food, and then we're left with, like, looking at random little tiny sausage rolls and sauce, and like, I don't want to eat your sausage rolls. Take your sausage rolls back to Pack and Save and give me back my sauteed kumara.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what happened at Anna's wedding. I made about 6 trays of kumara satay, and everybody loved it. And there were some vegan salads and stuff, and it's just becoming more and more normal, I think, to have those types of food around, and gatherings are, you know, not so much trouble now, and everybody seems to enjoy that food.
Yeah.
Everyone is still a vegan, they're just eating meat as well.
Yeah. That's like a really interesting way of looking at it. So you didn't really have this experience because you didn't force veganism on any of us. We could still go out and eat whatever we wanted when we were with our friends. It was really just at home.
Yeah.
Did you ever think of getting us, or like trying to get us to eat a certain way outside of the home, or were you just happy with us doing that at home?
I think I was just happy with what we're doing at home, and I knew that like more is caught than taught, so you know, you can tell people about it. You can, like, with homeschooling as well, it's the way you live and your witness, I guess, or your testimony of what's working for you and your health and vitality is gonna speak out to your children and to people and friends. And you know, people will comment to me that I haven't aged and that I still look
young. Sometimes I have friends come to, and they'll see you here and they'll be like, wow, your mum is looking amazing. I'm like, yep, she's looking pretty good.
Yeah, and we had our best man come over from Australia a number of years back, and he said, oh, you still look exactly the same. How come you haven't got bigger like everyone else?
You do eat a bit like a bird, though. You kind of pick at food, don't you?
I probably eat more now than I used to because of your podcast and your plant-based influence with the, calorie deficit, because I didn't want to change. I didn't want to be bigger or whatever, but I thought that I had to basically not eat very much. But now I know that I can, and I can start the day with a big bowl of porridge and fresh fruit, and it will keep me going till lunchtime, and I can feel, you know, like I've got energy and I'm not falling over with hunger pangs or something.
Yeah, that's so, so cool.
Yeah. And you guys did watch the documentary about the way animals are killed, earthlings and stuff.
Oh, yeah. That was the big change for me, because prior to that, the times that I'd tried to go vegan, it was really just because I wanted to get skinny. And then I watched Earthlings and I was like, okay, none of that. I just couldn't cope with that. And you went vegan with me.
Yep.
That's when we went vegan overnight.
And Honor.
And, yeah, and Honor did as well. And then the other girls, my other sisters, they went vegetarian.
Yeah. It was so graphic.
It was very graphic.
Just still see those images.
Yeah, I would not want to watch it again. But that kind of brings me to something that I do with my kids is that I explain to my kids why I've made the decision that I'm vegan. So I'm really honest with them, even though they are young, that I don't want to eat animals and it's not necessary for us to eat animals. So from the perspective of, I come at it with an ethical approach when I'm talking to my kids because that's easier for them to understand. I also talk about the health element. But even though Riley now is only 6, she's taken this on board as her own just because I have honest, non-judgmental conversations with her. And, you know, like, she said things like, oh, I want to try eggs and I want to do this. And, like, I say to her, yeah, you can, that's fine. Like, you're welcome to do that at some point. But for now, we don't eat that way. Mm-hmm. And this is why.
Yeah.
Because it's not good for you, because there's no need, this is where it comes from, it's not necessary. And I think it's really just, she just wants to give it a go because she doesn't really understand what that means. And if at some point she wants to eat that food, that's fine. Because, I mean, you do your best as a parent and you don't have to force every ideal on your kid. But hopefully because she's able to see the benefit of it, I think she will take that on. I think both of them will take that on.
Yeah, and she's informed, you're honest with her, and she hasn't got that disconnect between this is an animal in a paddock and this is a tray of meat in the supermarket.
Yeah.
It's open and real.
Yeah. I really think that when you are trying to get your family to adopt a lifestyle, honesty and open communication is going to be your most powerful weapon. I don't think that's just with food. Riley asked me today, because I was... Okay, so here's a little embarrassing segue story, is that I went to the gym this morning, was going to go, hopped into the shower at the gym, and then there's people on either side, and I'm watching this water float by in the gutter with people's shampoo and stuff, and I'm thinking, I'm on my period right now. If I have a shower right now, this means that everyone in the entire gym shower block with me is going to be seeing, like, blood floating down. I was like, this is not a good idea, Charles. This is not a good idea. So I got out of the shower and I came home without a shower. And so I was telling this to Nick and as to why I didn't have a shower. And Riley's like, what are you talking about to Daddy? What are you talking about? And I was like, I don't know if this is the right time to tell her about periods. She has an idea about it, but I just said, this is what happens to women. Once a month, women bleed. It's not a big deal. It's called a period. And it's just what happens. And I honestly don't know if it's right to tell a 6-year-old that, but I'm just making a point of being honest and open with her about how the world works. So if she asks, what happened to such and such? And they died. I'm going to say, this kid died. It was sad. It was horrible. Like, it's okay to understand that. So, I mean, this is just how I choose to parent, but I really think that we miss out on a lot as people by choosing to keep family members and children and spouses in the dark about our reasons for doing things. And this is particularly important when you are making a change for your weight loss. I was talking to some of the girls in Lean with Plants today because we were doing a little veggie club meetup that we do every month. And there was a woman in there she's living in an RV with her husband, and she was saying that since joining Lean with Plants, she's actually had much better communication with him, that she is feeling like her relationship is better with her husband. And a lot of that is to do that she's been able to actually have a real honest conversation with him about why she wants to lose weight and what she's doing for her health through joining Lean with Plants and how that's changing her lifestyle. And I think if you listening right now can get a vision of what open, vulnerable communication, where you're not seeking to necessarily change someone else, but change yourself and get them on board and invite them to get on board, like what you did, Mum. Like, it was really an invitation to get on board. Yeah. It was, I'm going to cook amazing vegan food for you guys. I'm not going to buy you luncheon and hot chickens anymore. But look, here's some strawberries. Here's some pineapple on this plate. Here's some, here's some amazing homemade sushi or whatever. And then through that, we became more and more on board with that. And it's incredibly powerful.
And at the end of the day, it's still your choice. As you get older, you make that choice. Just like with Riley, everybody makes those choices. And you know, you're fully informed. And like I said, it's the proof is in the pudding. It's you know, what you're gaining as opposed to what you are gaining in other ways.
Yeah. So what advice would you have for mums that they're wanting to change how their family eats? They're sensing that there will be, or they know that there will be huge resistance to that from their spouse, from their kids, changing what they allow in their home, what they buy. What advice would you have for those people?
Well, obviously, the earlier you start, the better with kids, because they basically can't go to the shops themselves and buy their own food. So it's what you have in the cupboard. It's what you buy. And there are, like, lots of tempting kid-focused fruits and veggies these days. You can buy baby carrots. You can buy those jelly bean little cherry tomatoes.
Oh, yeah, they're good.
Yeah, and just entice them. Just phase out the other stuff with alternatives and make your own, you know, you can make your own anything, basically, and just choose the healthier ways of doing things. And just a lot of studies have been done about kids being offered food in on a table and all sorts of food, and 9 out of 10 times they will go for the fruit. So it's just
kids tend to love fruit. Yeah. It's a bit like good fruit as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you think it's worth going through that pain of the breakup and the separation? Do you think it's worth
definitely,
it?
Definitely.
And start now.
Yes. Like with your kids, they don't know any different. But Morgan, she'll try any fruit. I said to her today, this fig is just like jam, and she'll try it. And I've had people in the past say to me, well, my kids won't eat mashed potatoes. Well, that's, in a way, it's not the kids' fault, because we've pandered to them and tried to get them. I think for me, it was getting out of the idea as well that they're not going to starve.
Yeah, that's huge, eh?
And that they will eat when they're hungry. You don't have to force feed them. They don't have to finish what's on their plate.
Yeah.
We had the thing, Dad said that if you didn't want to eat what was on your plate, and we'd keep that plate of food, like, till the next, you know, put it in the fridge till the next meal. And if you were hungry, then that's what you ate.
Yeah, I sometimes do that with my kids, but I've found that they will want to stuff themselves so that they can move to the next thing.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think there's a perfect strategy with kids.
No. It's trying to not get them to be fussy, basically.
Yeah. That, yeah.
You know, if you say, oh, well, I've babysit for kids and they don't want what's cooked for dinner, but 5 minutes after dinner they'll want cookies and crackers.
Oh, my kids will definitely do that too.
So, yeah, you're very good with your kids that you don't, you know, you say, you know, this is dinner, this is what's for dinner, and there's no second choice.
Yeah, it's this or bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually got a message from a woman a few days ago, and she was saying that she just had a paradigm shift from watching some of my Instagram stories and getting out of this mentality of, like, my kids have to eat, and it doesn't matter what they eat, they have to eat.
Yeah.
And so she just started to say no to her 3-year-old, and she said, this is what there is. She changed what he wouldn't eat it. Mm. He wouldn't eat it. And he just picked at it, but she kept at it, and after about a week or so of him barely eating anything, now he's eating it, and he's loving it.
Yeah.
And he's absolutely, I've got a kid crying in the background. But yeah, I think if you stick to your guns, it's the payoff is totally worth it. Your kids are not stupid.
They've got inbuilt survival mechanisms.
They are not going to starve. But if your kids are not eating healthy foods, vegetables, if they're not eating what's on their plate, that is much more a function of the other options that they think they could have. And that doesn't mean that you are going to automatically offer them a Twinkie on a silver platter. It just means if their taste buds are acclimatized to pizza and acclimatized to bliss point food, like the bliss point is a term used in food manufacturing to get the perfect level of irresistibility, if that's a word. It's that perfect crunch, the perfect saltiness, the perfect sweetness. So if your kids are used to eating those kind of foods, they are definitely going to want that food and prefer that food over the taste of broccoli.
And that's what they push on TV ads too, don't they?
It's huge. I can't even imagine, and I know in the States that it is far worse. There is so much sugary cereals marketed at kids. I looked at my two girls eating plain porridge the other day. They eat plain porridge, soy milk, and berries. And I couldn't imagine doing that as a kid. I would have had to smother that in sugar.
Mm.
And we weren't allowed to have sugar in our Weet-Bix.
Mm.
And I'd see other kids having sugar on their Weet-Bix, when Weet-Bix is like a New Zealand, Australian cereal that's got less sugar in it than most cereals. But it is really just what you're used to.
Yeah.
So what do you think are some common pitfalls, just as we finish up, that people can avoid? Do you have any advice for people, specifically when they're talking to their spouses about a diet change or a lifestyle change?
That they're going to benefit in the long run, because I know the way that you feel, the way that I feel about myself, and when I'm feeling good, when I'm able to wear clothes that I enjoy wearing and, you know, still fit into my old clothes, it just changes my whole outlook, my positiveness to life, and that I can do this. I can, you know, things can be thrown at me and I'm able to cope, because I'm just feeling that I'm
very loud motorbike. We always have this problem, sorry.
Just that I'm in control. You know, life throws stuff at you all the time. And your partner can benefit from just accepting that this is something for yourself.
Right.
That you don't have to change. He doesn't have to change, or she doesn't have to change. But that in the long run, it's going to benefit the relationship, it's going to benefit the children, it's going to, because it's something that you're doing for yourself, but it's not, it has repercussions, it has the ripple effect of everything.
Yeah, and I mean, for the people that are listening, if you feel just absolutely trapped in your body, if you feel like your weight and your health and your energy levels don't reflect who you want to be to your family, to your spouse and your kids, then you having a lot of energy and feeling good about yourself and your decisions is only beneficial to them.
Absolutely.
Like, your spouse can get on board with you feeling fantastic, because their life is going to be a lot better when that happens. So, I mean, I haven't been there, and I wouldn't say you've really been there. Dad just eats what gets put in front of him. But my advice for people is sell it. So, like, same with kids. Make it enticing. Do the best you can. But also, I truly believe if you are the one cooking meals, you should never have to cook a meal that you don't want to. I personally believe that. I would not be cooking meat for someone if I would say, hey, you know what, you want to cook meat, cook meat. I personally wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's necessary, and I think that you can have that kind of conversation.
Yeah.
And that's my take on it. There might be people who have another solution to it, but I guess the general concept behind that is that you have a lot of influence when you are the cook and when you are the person who does the shopping. And the person who does the shopping and the person who does the cooking has more influence on the food than the person who does the eating.
Yeah.
Because they're not the one that did the work. It's kind of like the story of the little red hen.
Yeah.
And the little red hen says, who will help me grind the grain?
Mm-hmm.
And all the other animals will say, I won't, I won't. But then when it comes to eating the bread, they all say, I will help. And the little red hen says, I will eat it myself.
Yeah.
So I think, cook it. If you're not going to eat what someone puts in front of you, whether you're a kid or an adult, get out, like, go cook your own food or get over it. Yeah. And teenagers can buy food, keep it in their rooms, or eat it out of the home. They don't have to be, you don't have to be buying junk food for your teenagers either.
Yeah, I think I was surprised over the times when I made, you know, tried to make a salad with every meal and just thinking, oh, well, that's a side, but that everybody wanted more than it was made, and that people enjoy salads with a hot meal or, you know, baked vegetables or whatever. It's always a good thing to have on hand.
They and kids as well. Kids are going to do what they see their parents doing, so the more you do it, the more your kids will want to do it, the easier it gets.
It's just normal.
It just becomes normal. And I would say your spouse the same thing. There's a lot of things that Nick eats now that he had not even heard of, that he would have turned his nose up at in the beginning. But because it's just what I eat and it's normal, he eats them now. He enjoys a big salad now.
Yeah, and having bowls of fruit, like always try and have your fruit bowl filled up with fresh, good-looking fruit that they can, snack on or whatever, and just help themselves to.
Yeah, and leave apple cores all over the house. You find them under the bed, in the car.
Yeah.
So lots of great tips there, Mum. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure to have you on the episode, and I know that it is going to be super helpful for our listeners. And do you have anything else that you want to say?
I'm just happy that I was able to help and share with you guys, and just know that you know, you're there for the long haul. It's not here today, gone tomorrow. It's a lifestyle change, and don't beat yourself up. Just carry on. Just keep on keeping on, and you'll love it.
Yeah, progress, not perfection, guys.
Yeah,
cool.
Thank you, Chelsea.
Thank you.
For having me.
Thank you for having me. You're the one. Guys, wasn't she sweet? My mum is an absolute hun. Thank you so much for listening, guys. And I will see you again next week. If you liked this episode, please give me a review. It really, really helps the podcast gods get this out to more people. It would be super helpful for me. I love to hear the feedback from the podcast. It is something that I've poured my heart and soul into, and when I see the impact that it has, it really spurs me on to keep doing it. So definitely give me a little shout out. Let me know what you thought, all of that good stuff. And I will, like I said, see you guys next week.